This morning's testament lesson is found in Genesis 1, verses 1 through 5. Listen for the word of the Lord. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. The word of the Lord.
We start a new sermon series today entitled "The Voice, Our Choice." It is about God speaking to us and our choosing whether or not to listen and to follow and to obey. We begin with the very basics this morning, and the text is not just the first four verses. Over the week, it expanded to the first 13. So we will be looking at verses 1 through 13 of the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And as we read this, you'll notice, especially coming out of Christmas, Mark doesn't fool around with all of that stuff about angels and genealogy and shepherds. He just gets right down to business. So that's what we're going to do this morning. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah. See, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I've baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. The word of the Lord. The message was loud, it was clear, and it was easily understandable. And here was the message. Some of you are getting off the plane at this stop. Others of you are going through to Houston. If you were going through to Houston, please let everyone else off. Remain in your seat until we count all of you so we know we have everyone we need, and then we can let other people board and we can be on our way. How many of you have heard that message? Okay. All right. This Christmas, as is often our case, we fly down to see my family in Texas, and our Southwest flight took us from here to the other Birmingham. You know, did you know there's another Birmingham? To the other Birmingham. And when we got there, there were 20, 22 of us that were going to remain on the plane, and so they came on and made this announcement. So all of the people getting off at Birmingham, they'd gotten their stuff, and they were just exiting when immediately these three people about two rows in front of us got up, started pulling their bags out of the bins overhead and arguing about where they were going to sit. No, no, I want this seat. No, no, we really should sit over here. No, no, we need to be further up. No, we need to be further. And again, the flight attendant comes on the intercom. Would you please remain in your seats until we can count you all? Then you can go and get a seat. Didn't slow them down a bit. They kept moving from seat to seat, trying to figure this out. And as Cindy will tell you, I was a bit irritated for numerous reasons. But I decided at least if I was going to be irritated, there better be a sermon illustration that came out of it. And basically, what I saw in that was the clear difference between hearing and listening. Okay, this is John Judson's definition of hearing. My definition of hearing is what happens when we guys are watching a sporting event on television. Okay? A female voice speaks. Sound waves are created. They travel through the air. They reach our tympanic membrane. And nothing happens. There is no recognition that that voice has spoken at all. Listening, on the other hand, is what happens when that same female voice says, "Hey, snacks are on." Then there is a recognition that something has happened and that there are future possibilities. There are new possibilities for life and living. That's the difference between hearing and listening. And so sort of my best illustration I could come up with is State of the Union address. How many of you have ever watched a State of the Union address? Okay? When the president speaks at the State of the Union address, members of his own party are listening because there are possibilities of transformation and change and new things ahead. Members of the other party, they're hearing. They are not listening. We know they're hearing because they have already written their own speech telling us why the president has totally missed the vote. Okay? Hearing, listening. So why does it matter? Well, I believe it matters because God asks us to listen. God doesn't just ask us to hear. God asks us to listen, because in listening, there is the possibility of new opportunities, new possibilities, new realities for ourselves, our communities, and for the world. But that only happens if we listen. And actually, what's interesting is listening is at the heart of both of our passages this morning. Okay? The first passage is God speaking and creation listening. I know that sounds odd, right? Because when we think of creation, we think of electrons, neutrons, protons, dark matter, whatever is out there. It's just stuff, right? But biblically, creation is more than that. Creation almost has a life of its own. And so when God speaks to creation, "Let there be light," there's light. Notice carefully in this story, God does not wrestle with creation to overcome it. God doesn't sort of manufacture something. God speaks to creation. Creation listens. And there are new possibilities. There's a new reality. And what's fascinating about the Bible is about the only entity that ever actually really listens to God all the time is creation. Not us. All right, so the second story is also about listening. It starts with John the Baptist. John the Baptist has been out in the wilderness listening to God. And what God has said to John is, I want you to come out of the wilderness. I want you to go closer to Jerusalem, to the River Jordan. And I want you to proclaim this message. And this message is, come, get baptized, confess your sins, and get ready because the chosen one is coming into the world. And John listens. And because John listens, people's lives are changed. But it's not just John that listens, it's the other people that listen. All of these people listen to John. They listen to this message, and they come from all over Judea, and they come to John to be baptized because they want their lives transformed. And they hear, they listen to what God is saying and to what John is saying, and their lives are changed. They're made ready for what's about to happen. And finally, Jesus listens. Jesus hears God calling him to go to John, go to the Jordan, be baptized. He comes up out of the water, and he hears God's voice saying, you are my beloved, you are my son. And then Jesus hears the Spirit pushing him, driving him out into the wilderness to be tested and tempted. And those actions set off the ministry of Jesus of Nazareth that changes the world and changes the universe. Listening. And so this leaves us with, I think, two questions this morning, two choices. The first choice is, will we listen? And I ask that because I think the vast majority of what we do in life, and I include myself in this, is we don't listen, we hear. And what I mean by that is we have our favorite news commentators, our favorite magazine, our favorite bloggers, our favorite tweeters. And they're our favorites because we agree with them, because they tell us what we want to hear, and they reinforce what we already believe, and that feels really, really good, because it means we're right. But that's hearing, not listening. It simply goes in and nothing happens. The question is, are we willing to listen? Are we willing to listen to someone whose views are different from ours? Are we willing to listen to new insights and new possibilities? Are we willing to be open to the possibility that we may not have gotten it all right? And that somebody else out there might still have a word for us? Are we willing to listen? The second choice is, will we listen to God? And I say that because I think we do some listening. And so much of it is sort of on a professional sort of level. We're listening for the latest techniques in our business. We're listening for the latest things that we can do to make our businesses better, that we can make ourselves better leaders, managers, people. We sort of believe and are open to the possibilities that there's that out there. And so we listen to that. But will we listen to God? Because God still speaks. As Ernest said, maybe not in voices we hear coming down from heaven. But God speaks to us through Scripture. God speaks to us through worship. God speaks to us through our friends. God speaks to us from the voices of the marginalized, from those who stand on the outside of society. God speaks to us sometimes through the people that we least expect to hear from God from. God still speaks. And so the question is, are we willing to listen to God in prayer, in meditation, in scripture reading? Are we willing to listen to God? This morning, we ordain and install officers in the life of this church, both elders and deacons. And they are called, even more than all the rest of us, to listen. Because when we elect elders, you elect them, and we ordain and install them, their job is not to represent us. Their job is to represent God in Jesus Christ. Their job is to discern what it is that God would have of us and of this church. And so they're called to listen, to be open. The deacons that you all have elected, who we will ordain and install this morning, they are called to listen to the voices of the hungry and the naked and the cold and the homeless, to those who need God's presence in their lives, to listen for God through those people that they might serve and show the love of God in Jesus Christ. Listening. It's what all of us have been called to do. And so my challenge for you for this week is this: to ask yourself, am I willing to choose to listen? It's a conscious choice and a conscious action. Am I willing to choose to listen for the voice of God, even when I don't like it, even when it makes me uncomfortable? Am I willing to listen for God now and always? Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that you still speak, that through the power of your Spirit you can use people or scripture or worship or prayer, that you can speak to us. Give us the courage to choose to hear you in this moment and in all the moments to come. We pray this in Christ's name.